This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Welcome back to the second half with Robert and David. Hope you guys had a great new year. We are following up or continuing our conversation from a guy's perspective of some questions that have come in from friends, and it's just interesting to hear their point of view. It's actually very eye-opening to hear their point of view. So enjoy. Thank you so much for listening. Okay, bowl of spaghetti. Okay, case in point, where do you want to go eat on date night? Us ladies take into consideration millions of factors before we make that decision.
Okay, stop right there.
Okay.
What are those millions of factors that you women take into consideration before we go?
Is this going to give me gas?
What are we going to eat? Is this have a lot of sodium?
Is this going to give me gas?
I love Chinese food, but I'm always like, that's so much salt. I'm always so thirsty.
Got to take your shoes off when you're eating.
Yeah.
My shoes are tight. My shoes are so tight. I always think about, like, I'm not a big chain restaurant person. So sometimes I don't want to go to, like, a chain restaurant. They're easy.
Olive Garden.
They're easy to go to. You know, it's like, oh, let's just go to, you know, whatever chain restaurant.
But, you know, the big chain restaurants, they always have an A.
The true story. I wouldn't say millions of factors, but I definitely think about, oh, we always seem to go to blah, 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 blah. Like David and I's go-to is Mexican food. I feel like it's easy.
Yeah.
You know, tacos are always easy, you know.
Because there's a million things on the menu.
And there's a bazillion things. He can have a burrito one day, I can have nachos, and then the next day he's having a torta or whatever, right? So what do you think? Is that lame? We think of a million things? I wouldn't say a million. I'd probably say like three or four things.
Yeah, but still, those are BS things to think of. Like,
what do you think about?
Well, first of all, we don't think much. We're just like, oh, let's just go here. And then for some reason, it's not good. It's not, no.
Because like, it's usually like a chain restaurant.
So sodium is playing a big part in this. Because this is news to me. No one's ever brought up the sodium thing.
No.
Sodium is the reason why we can't pick a place in 2 hours?
No. No, I'm just giving an example of Chinese food. I love Chinese food, but I always think, God, I'm going to be so thirsty after. That's what I think.
Not during, after?
Yes, after. What do you think, David? Why do men never pick? So,
because what? We want you guys to be happy.
No. So be like, where do you want to go for dinner? I don't know. Where do you want
to
go?
To Rook? What?
No, but I'll be like, what do you want for dinner? He'll be like, I don't know. What do you want for dinner? I don't know. You pick tonight. No. You pick. It's your decision.
Do you feel like something?
I don't know.
Then that's how this whole thing gets going with the tennis of I don't know.
Really? But because you guys could eat like burgers every day.
We should not.
I didn't say you shouldn't. That's a different conversation. But you guys could eat it. Be like, I'll just have a burger.
But you could eat a peanut butter and jelly every day.
Yeah, but we're not going to a peanut butter and jelly restaurant. I don't want to go to a burger joint. I don't eat burgers.
That sounds divine.
I don't eat burgers, so I don't want to go.
Okay, well,
I'm not going to go to a steakhouse and order chicken.
Then that's why we're not going to a steakhouse, Jennifer.
I'm saying those are. But you're saying, where does my brain go? That's where my brain goes.
Let's go to so-and-so steakhouse. But you'd be like,
What I'm not going to go to a steakhouse for chicken. I can get chicken there, but that's like going to a chicken store and asking if they have a burger.
They don't, though. They usually just have the chicken.
Okay, what do you think? What are you and Melissa? Do you guys ever fight over where you're going to eat? Does she pick? Do you pick? Do you both not pick? Or do you just say, never mind, we'll eat what we have here?
A lot of times it goes to that part, but Mexican food is always kind of like a winner.
It is. It's always, you can't, wins. It doesn't shit the bed.
She never wants Chinese food. So maybe it's the sodium.
I don't get her on. Get her on the phone.
Ask her that question.
Get her on the phone. That's why I'm telling you. It always makes me so thirsty. MSG. It always makes me so thirsty.
She eats in and out all the time. So, but she doesn't have burgers. She has the grilled cheeses there.
See, there you go.
And it is always, it is a conversation. Like, because also
it's a
like,
thing, though.
But our
it's
kids like, also don't eat a lot of different things also. Yeah. So that really plays a factor into
totally.
It.
Totally.
But like even if, when it's just me and her.
If we want to take Charlotte or, you know, if she's, you know, we're going to go, she like loves Chili's. I fucking hate Chili's.
Fucking Chili's is the bomb.
I mean, it's, I don't hate
Chili's. Chili's is the bomb. Let me tell you, Chili's right now, I think it's like $10.99. You get an appetizer, you get a burger with some fries and a soft drink. That's a better deal than
In-N-Out. All the, and we just went there.
Yeah.
And just did it.
The Chili's? What?
Didn't we just go to Chili's? Your wife?
And it was amazing.
It was great. It was fine. But if you said, what's your number one place to go? I would never say Chili's.
Well, nobody ever says Chili's. Like, that's crazy.
Charlotte's also like, let's go.
You say Olive Garden.
Charlotte says
Red Lobster.
Olive Garden. And I'm like, but I don't like chains that much. I like Yard House.
You know what happens
variety.
When you go to Olive Garden? They treat you like family.
They do.
Do they? Do
Come
they?
On, they bring out the breadsticks and the
Half the
salad.
Time they give you three. They used to give you like six. Now you get three and there's four of you. So now you always have to ask for another. Then you feel like a big piggy.
That's why America's fat.
God, but you're like, I just want one breadstick.
It's always five. I used to work there.
You used to work there 47 years ago. And the last time I was four of us and they gave us three breadsticks.
That guy was an asshole.
Exactly. He didn't treat us like family. Well, he might have treated us like family. Yeah. Like some
the
family members.
Cousin.
The cousin that got you guys sick. Okay, so in a relationship, what's more important, feeling in love or feeling respected?
Ooh. That's a good one.
That's a good one. I think both, though. I think you have to feel respected and I think you have to feel loved. You can feel loved to a degree.
What defines feeling loved? Is it the saying it? Some people have to hear it a lot, right?
Some people want it emotionally.
Some people say it just to say it.
Physically.
Physically, yeah. Mentally.
Loved.
Yeah.
Like, do you know that you're loved when you come in the door?
Yeah.
Do you know that you're loved when you come in the door?
It depends on what was happening in that house before I got home. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, my house gets a little crazy when I'm not there. So when I show up and
there's chaos,
I got my teenage 13-year-old daughter. She's emotional, and then I have my wife. She's emotional. They're synced up and they're emotional shit. And then
your 15-year-old's probably just in his bedroom. Like, I don't.
I get told a lot. Like, you're always like an hour or two late. Like, because the shit hit the fan an hour or two ago. You could, if you were here, that maybe might not have happened. So. No,
but that's
when I walk through the door, I do not feel like I'm loved most of the time.
But how do you, is it everybody says I love you or do you just feel it like you know? Like, or do you have to hear it a lot to feel it?
No, you don't have to hear it a lot to feel it. I think it's more the actions and of the other person. Actions of, are we talking relationship or are we talking like household in general right now?
Just relationships, but relationship. That also could be.
I think it's more in actions than it is actually saying it.
Okay.
But it is nice to hear.
It is nice to hear, yes. For example, let's just say like you hurt your back or your leg falls asleep if you lay on your back because you have a back spasm, kind of pinched a nerve kind of thing. And the other significant person knows this. Does that person just start rubbing your back without you asking them? Like those little things.
Good point. Okay, go ahead. Tell me yours. You said love. And what about the respected part? So you think they kind of go hand in hand?
Of course they do.
Okay, but explain. Give us the story, 9-hour story about a fire hose.
If you're telling
kink.
Someone that you love them, I would hope that you respect them.
Of course, but the question is, it's not what I'm saying. I'm reading the question. Is it more important to feel love or feeling respected? And you're saying both, but why is that? Or how is that, I guess, maybe? How do you feel respected and loved? Like, what's the difference between being respected and love? If you love somebody, don't you respect them? Because otherwise, would you love them?
I don't know. You could love somebody and kind of maybe not respect them.
Could you? Okay, I'm asking. I don't know. I'm asking because a woman, we process, overthink, and analyze.
I would think that they come hand in hand.
Okay. Do you think that?
I would hope they do.
Yeah.
But I think there's, you know, I don't know.
You can't say, I don't know. That's a tough question.
Okay. It is a tough question.
It's a tough question. Because you always want to be respected and you always want to be loved. So what's more important? I don't know. It depends on the mood.
If you feel respected, if you feel respected though, don't you feel loved?
That's what I'm saying. If you feel loved, don't you feel respected? It's the same if you put one word in front of the other.
But you don't feel it's the same. You feel it's two different things.
Wait, respect and love are two different things.
I'm asking him. My name is Robert.
I mean, they are two different things, but they also go hand in hand in a marriage.
Okay.
In a relationship. Okay. You know what I mean? I don't need, like, if it's like, you know, day-to-day life and work and stuff like that, I don't need my clients to love me, but they need to respect my,
opinion, my decisions,
stuff like that. And then at home, if you're loved, but your wife doesn't respect your decisions or whatever, like, that's kind of an issue. So I guess...
Yeah, these are more like relationship, I think, based versus work based in terms of, because you're right. I would respect you working with you, but I mean, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, I love you. But I mean, I love working with you and I love you, but not like that. But you know what I mean? So it's different. But at home, I feel like in your partnership, you're married to someone you respect and you love.
Yeah.
And so you can hope that your kids feel the same way too.
Yeah. Well, okay. So like maybe this might relate to what you're talking about. Like right now, we argue about our son taking the train to go down to LA to go skate with his friends. Mm-hmm. She's allowing it. Mm. I feel like, and he did it twice. And really, I didn't even know there was no adult going until like after the second time. Mm. And so there's a little bit of, you should have ran this by me. Like, this is a big decision. He's 15 years old. Like, there was like a lack of respect, I think, right there.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So...
I wouldn't be okay with that.
Yeah. So that kind of goes back and forth kind of thing. Now we've worked it out. You know, see, I moved my pawn.
I'm going to have to go with Robert's son because I was that.
But that was a different time. You have to remember the time that we're in now. Very different. Back then you came in when the light came on outside. Now you barely let your kids go outside.
But my parents didn't know that I took the RTD bus to downtown.
Yeah, they probably did. Into Hollywood. But it was different. You didn't think about it. Now there's, you maybe because we know more about what's out there in the big scary world.
They were out there then too.
I'm sure they were, but you didn't know about it like you do now.
Sure.
And you also, you see people on their phones. Sometimes they could be videoing if it's a little, you know, if it's a girl or whatever, whatever's out there, all the scary things. So I just feel like that would be, I would want someone who was an adult there with them. Yeah. They could go. I would just want someone.
Well, my back and forth with her, and because right now, when we were kids, when your buddy had your, when your buddy got his license, it was like, all right, we're in the car now all the time.
All the time.
Now the rules are different. I think it's like once somebody gets their driver's license, they can't actually have anybody else in the car for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
So, but all the, when we would go on longer trips, like that were outside of like, say our city or whatever, somebody had a car, you know what I mean? We weren't just jumping on the train or taking the bus. So then if you got into some shit, I would always think in my head, well, we'll leave. We'll get in the car and we'll just leave. Now there's a bunch of kids on skateboards. You're going to go as fast as your skateboard. You're not really going to get out of there very quick. There's no way to like really leave. And living in this city, I feel like my kid's group, they might just say some things that they probably shouldn't say. And they'll be able to get away with it because of what city we live in. But then you take them to like LA do that same stuff. You're an idiot. Like you're just going to get, you know, people don't, they're not, I mean, you're not in the bubble anymore. You can't, and then now you're stuck. You can't just leave. So that's where I'm stuck out of my head about the whole situation. But you know, I play chess. And so I go, okay, let's, all right, we'll allow this right here. But
you would let that happen now because you did it when you were a kid?
Probably not. But I'm just saying I did it not thinking about what my parents' reaction was going to be when I got home.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's another thing, too. Your parents didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, I track my kid's phone. I know where he is at all times.
Well, see, yeah, there's... You have the option to do that now.
My dad thought when I was playing, I was just going down the street. I was literally going the other side of the city, and he didn't even know. As long as I was home by the streetlights going on, it didn't matter. And I was just able, I was able to figure that out.
Yeah.
So, but I also never took, you were taking the bus down to LA? Good for you, man. Good for you.
Took it to Hollywood.
Look at you.
That's crazy.
Three different buses.
Nice.
First time I ever tried dip.
Oh, there's a P at the end of that. Good. I thought there was going to be a CK.
Fuck are you.
That's a whole other topic. Huh?
I threw up on the bus because I didn't know you were supposed to spit it out.
The first time I did dip, and the only time I ever did it was my freshman high school coach, baseball. On the way back from a game, he had all the kids in the back of the bus and we're all doing dip for the first time.
Yeah.
Did you know to spit it out?
I put it in my mouth and spit it out immediately. I didn't like it at all. Oh, I was like, oh, this is terrible. What am I doing?
Just
give me a cigarette.
So we're going to keep going in line of relationships right now. So don't talk about dip or dicks anymore.
First time I tried dip.
Okay. Where do you feel more value, at work or in the relationship? These are chick questions. Remember that. These are girls, women asking you guys because you're men and you think
you go ahead first, Robert.
Different.
Definitely more.
Where do you feel more value, at work, in the relationship? Like when you're at work, do you feel like the most value to who you are or in a relationship? I don't know. I'm reading it. I'm just guessing. I don't know.
I guess it just depends on what's happening at work and what's happening at home. Like it goes back and forth. Is it what I bring the most value to, or I just feel most valued at?
Maybe go with that. I just read it the way it was written.
Valued at.
Yeah. Like, do you feel like, oh God, what I do at work is so, like, I feel so good. I leave and I'm, of course we're working together. So of course
you're loving it.
Every second is a freaking
roller
chef's kiss.
I think it depends on the situation. I'm sure there's people that you work with that you're like, I could just be at home today, but there's money coming in the door, so I'll do this. Because I feel that there's some of those clients I have out there, like, I really don't want to go to see this person. I don't think that they value me. I know I don't value them, but I'll take their money type situation.
Okay.
But I feel valued at home.
You better.
All the time?
Yeah.
All the time. 100% of the time.
100% of the time, he said.
Yeah.
You feel valued. Like when you come in the door, you know, like.
I know I'm loved. I know there's people there that care about me. I know that there's, yeah.
All right.
If not, I got four dogs that do.
True story. They'll lick your ass and lick your face. It's fine. Everything's fine.
In that order.
Exactly.
After they licked their
face.
Okay. So I'm going to move on because that one was kind of, it was just.
We gave that question. We'll let her start with.
When you have problems in your relationship, are you looking for a solution or are you looking to just tell your side of the story? That's a great question.
What we're looking to do or what we actually do?
When you have a problem in your relationship, are you looking for a solution or are you looking to just tell your side of the story? I'm assuming this is a bigger scale issue, not just if it's sodium or no sodium tonight.
I would say the first 30 seconds, I'm looking to tell my side of the story because my side of the story is the answer. And if we just listen to reason, it would be over. But most of the time, it's not.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
It's a chess game. So, but then also there might be times that maybe I just not understanding the emotional aspect of the entire thing. So
I'm thinking if it's a bigger scale issue, like a bigger fight, not just a bullshit fight. I'm thinking if
what's the type of fight?
I'm thinking if it's just maybe something that's a little more meaningful than you didn't put the toilet seat down or you said you were going to do
$5,000 on the credit card and didn't tell me.
Or, I mean, maybe, I don't know. I don't know if that's a good answer. I don't know if that's a thing. But just saying, like, do you just want to hear the side of the story? Or do you, like, you and Melissa are fighting, okay? And let's just say it's a good fight. This is a fight. The chess pieces are just everywhere and you don't know what to do. are you looking to be like, you tell your side? I mean, but your relationship is, it doesn't, I don't know what the context is, but you're arguing, you're both, you want to tell your side, she wants to tell her side of the story. And are you saying, I just want you to hear me, this is what happened? Or are you trying to make it smooth? You trying to fix it? Again, I think the problem is a little bit on a bigger scale. So that's where I think the question kind of comes aligned with.
You want to jump on that one? Or?
Yeah, David. Think about what I said. If it's a really big fight or if it's a really big issue, are you trying to just say what you need to say? You want to hear you. I want to tell you how I feel.
Well, yeah, I want to get my point across.
But do you want to then figure out a solution? Because we both have different, right? It's obviously a fight is because two people aren't agreeing. Bless you. Do you want to try to find a resolution to it? It's maybe a resolution, not immediate. Is it something that you're trying to work through? Maybe it's an issue in your relationship.
Well, the end result is if you care about the person and whatnot, then you do want to kind of make things right and smooth them over.
But do you feel that I told my side of the story, I'm right, this is what I see, this is what I hear. Like, is there something like that? Like, do you ever feel that way? Like, I know what Jennifer's saying, but I really just know what I did and what I'm doing. And this is the way it was.
No, because I try to look at both sides.
Do you? Even though you know that you get annoyed with me sometimes?
Yeah.
Okay. And you get annoyed with Melissa sometimes, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but do you try to, like, eventually smooth it over? I mean, have you guys ever had a really, like, huge fight that lasted more than a day?
I would say we've had fights that should not have lasted more than a day because it was about, like really petty stuff. Like, yeah. That has happened.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know really how to answer this because without like the context of what the fight is,
sure,
it's very difficult to say like, well, like, am I clearly at fault? Is she clearly at fault? Are we arguing?
Like,
about
you've ever had a fight where you had to even have that thing like, he's this and I'm this and we can't find a common ground. Like, I think the context, I think, is a really big issue.
A lot of our arguments are obviously about our kids, like how, like what they're doing, how to handle the situation. Then it's obviously money. And then the other thing is, I would say, her feeling like she does everything in the house and that I do nothing. And I know that's 100% not true because I do a lot of stuff in the house. But then she only looks in the moment of, like, say she's taking the clothes out of the dryer and she's like, I've been rotating the laundry like the past 2 days. You haven't done anything. I'm like, well, that's bullshit. Cause I know I did two loads today and I did a load yesterday. I also wasn't here. I was at work and like all these things. So it's not like I'm just sitting here playing video games while this stuff is happening. So like, do I need to make a chart? So that way you can see, I can just check it off. I did it at this time. Like I cleaned the bathroom at this date. I did this at this time. And so that's kind of,
okay.
We'll kind of go back and forth. It's a lot of emotions.
You're lucky because I usually get, do you want an award because you did something?
I'll get that sometimes. It'll happen.
You have to tell me you put the clothes in the dryer?
Yeah, I never tell him when I put the clothes in the dryer.
But then why do we have to tell you when we do it?
You don't.
So then why are you giving a shit when you think we're not doing it?
Because I know when you're not doing it.
So we have a chart. I think we should just do a chart. We just,
David,
check it off. Okay.
I can assure you, and I'm not going to say for you, because I know that some days you're probably home during the day and he's not. I can count on one hand how many times he's put clothes in the laundry.
But she's got octopus hands. She's got extra arms and tentacles because that shit's going like this right now.
I have never seen him go around collecting laundry.
No, I'm not going to go around and collect it, but I will switch it out.
Of course. But usually I'm like, if there's clothes in the washer, can you put them in the dryer for me while I'm gone?
Yeah.
But I have to tell you that. But you don't look.
What's wrong? Hold on. What's wrong with telling us that? Because we're already thinking about other things. But so I'll get that shit. Like, you wouldn't do it unless I told you. But I did it. Yes, you did. You told me. And I ended up doing it. So if I didn't do it.
You wouldn't have done it.
So what?
But I go around.
That's not the mom mentality in the dad's head of let me go do the laundry. The dad's head is going, you know what? She's not going to go out and pick up that dog shit. I should probably go pick that up.
True. That is true. He does do that.
Right?
Yeah. 100%. You will never hear me say that you don't do that. You do that. I do a lot of the other things.
I don't tell you to go do it.
You know what I did yesterday? Huh? I had to rip out all the carpet in my son's bedroom because there's a water leak that's coming in. So I did all that. Meanwhile, maybe she rotated the laundry once. Well, I did all that shit. But I'm not sitting there going, where's my brownie points? Where's my brownie points? Sure. Where's my brownie points?
Fair enough. Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that we do that we don't expect you to do. I'm not saying we expect you to do the laundry.
No. I understand what you mean. But I don't think of it that
way. If we're not thinking about it and then you have to tell us to do it and then we end up doing it, we still shouldn't get shit about it.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Just like we had the groceries delivered yesterday.
Snap.
And you had to ask me if I put them away.
No, I said, did we get the groceries? I don't know that you would put them away. I've seen you not put them away before. Only thing you'll put away is cold stuff.
And that's really all that matters. Let's be honest. As long as the cold stuff gets put away, that's really all that matters.
Okay, for sure. I am programmed differently, though. He can go on a weekend trip and have his weekend bag sit in he has his own room with his own clothes, like his own, where he has a pile of shit everywhere. He can let that bag sit there for a month where I cannot go to sleep until I put my suitcase away. Very different. So I would think that if you're already putting the groceries away, you would just put all the groceries away.
Is he a different person than when you guys got married?
Yes, he is different.
When it comes to that. So he was constantly always putting the groceries away and emptying his bag when you guys first started dating?
No, I'm saying he probably pays more attention now to maybe do that than he did.
So you're winning.
I mean,
you're changing him. Congratulations.
I mean, not even a change.
Snap. High five.
Okay. What can a partner do to make you feel most loved?
You go.
Showing a lot of affection.
Showing a good time. You know what, though? But Robert said a really good thing, and I said this to you before. Like something like your back, you know, you have a bad back, and you could be half asleep, and Melissa maybe rubs your back because you know she knows it's bothering you without even thinking. Maybe, or you do the, you know, whatever. Okay.
Maybe.
Or does she does?
Go ahead.
Maybe not. David will do something that is so little, but it like means like it's like if I forget water by the bed, even though I never drink it, by the way, never drink it, but I always have to have water, thousands of drinks, and he'll come and bring it. And it's like those are things to me that I know like he's paying attention.
I will tell you right now, I never do that for Melissa. I will never just go get her a water and put it next to her bed. That is amazing.
Like,
here's the thing. She's going to die of thirst while she's sleeping. So she has to have the water.
I'm always afraid I'm going to die.
She has to have her tea. She has to have her phone. What else is next to your bed?
And usually my phone, right when I lay down, I usually am just going to turn on the alarm. Mm-hmm. And apparently I fall asleep so fast that and sometimes he'll plug it in the charger for me.
It's usually lying on her chest or on the side of her. Wow.
Yeah.
I do not
do any of that. No. Does Melissa do any of that for you?
No, she won't get me a water.
You'll just die of thirst.
She'll ask me if I want a cup of coffee, and then she'll make me coffee, but she won't fill up my water. She won't do any of those things. Mm. Wow, you guys are winning.
I get her an RB almost every night with dinner.
That's a root beer zero, just so you know.
Oh, she made, I think like an RB, like,
Arby's.
You like a big Montana.
Like, yes, please. The meat eater over here.
I love me some.
I think that in relationships, you know, the obvious things are.
Like, for instance, a couple of weeks ago, I went and got dinner in her car. And as soon as I backed out of the driveway, ding, ding. I don't think I can make it down the street. There's no gasolina. So I went and put $40 in the gas, you know, I mean, well, God forbid there was an emergency or the earthquake or something where they shut the electricity off, can't get gas.
Why only $40?
That's all I had in my pocket.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, which was really nice because what I do is sometimes I'll race home. I usually have to go pee and I race home and my light will come on and then I go home and I'll be like, I'll remember just like today. When I was like, crap, I got to go get gas in the morning because I said that. And I forgot to tell him that he was rolling the dice on that gas tank.
You guys ever seen like Tim Allen stand-up comedy? It's like it's old.
Some of it, yeah.
He's got this whole skit on there. He's like, where like the engine light comes on. And then like he asks his wife, like, why didn't you do anything about it? She's like, well, I figured a brighter light should come on when it really needed it.
A firecracker and an arrow.
The gas light's on? Oh, I figure a brighter light should come on when it really needs it.
Oh, and a rental car I had, remember, for the month, it had no, not that you're sitting there, but you don't stare at the tank, right? Like, I'll glance down, but there was no light to warn me. Like, mine is a light.
Right.
And a ding. When you start the car, ding, ding, letting you know, like, lazy ass, go. Don't wait till the morning, because in the morning, you're always going to be mad. But I think that sometimes for me, the smaller things are nice. No?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't come in with, like, a mariachi band to tell me you love me. But when you give me water and you know I won't drink it, but you'll still bring it.
Bring your purse out of the car amazing. To the house.
I don't do that.
Maybe you should start.
Maybe.
How important are accolades and attaboys from women? Do they make or break a man's self-worth or image of themselves? Do you have to hear praise when you do something like put the laundry away or?
No, I do it myself. It's good job, David. Good job. Yeah. Jennifer's going to be so proud.
Do you?
I don't need the praise, but I don't need to be told I'm not doing it.
Correct.
When I am doing it.
Correct.
That's what upsets me. I don't need it like a, hey, great job, way to do all that kind of stuff. I don't need that. I just don't need to be told that I'm not.
Okay. That's fair. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you don't need to. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So then can you give examples of when you're most appreciated and mean the most? If you say something good, like if I said, but it's not like you're a dog, but if you said something like, oh my God, like, thank you for bringing that water, that meant a lot. Does that make you feel good? Or do you need that? Or do I not need to say thank you? I guess.
No, it's nice
question.
To hear the.
A thank you?
Yeah.
Every once in a while?
Yeah.
Instead of a what you didn't do?
Yeah.
Thank you
yeah.
for what you did do?
Yeah.
Is the pathway to a man's heart really through his stomach?
Really through the stomach?
No, like, is food really the.
My wife can't cook worth a shit.
Okay. You do all the cooking?
I do the majority of the cooking, yes.
Do you guys cook? I feel like you guys eat out a lot.
We eat out a lot because just the way our lifestyle is, like there's so many moving parts with the three kids and then with my work and then her work and stuff. So a lot of times when it's like, oh, it's time to eat. Now, if I was to start cooking at 7 o'clock, 7:30, we're not eating until 8:30,
9 o'clock.
So then... Or if we're out, like kids got baseball, whatever the case is. Yeah, we eat out more than we definitely should. That's going to be one of our New Year's resolutions. Do not do that.
Well, it's just, it's so expensive for not amazing.
Sometimes if you go into Chili's, it's cheaper than actually making food at home.
We know for $11.
Get it. But I do the majority of the cooking. But I'm also cooking like four different meals. Like it's not like I cook one meal and we all eat it. It's like I'll cook one meal for me and her. And then I've got like dino nuggets in. This girl over here, she needs to have a
grocery. What does your daughter eat? She's picky too?
She's extremely picky. They're all extremely picky. Mm-hmm. It's way
the,
too much.
The young one too?
Huh?
The young one too?
Yeah, like he'll only eat like one kind of chicken nugget, Tame which is normally McDonald's.
Dino
normally McDonald's,
nuggets.
But now he kind of does dino nuggets. So that's
Charlotte
that's okay.
is all about dino nuggets. Like she, for a while she was, you could go buy a couple different kinds. And she's like, one day. I only want dino nuggets. And she's 9.
I don't understand it because the dino nuggets are not that good.
They're not.
I've gotten other nuggets crap. And I'm like, these are amazing.
These
like
are good.
Actual and chicken them, in the nugget, yeah. not and like processed.
My kid, yeah. And my kid will not eat them. And
yeah.
it's like,
I'm like, this is so good. Yeah.
By the way, we're going to Chili's for dinner tonight.
I want my baby back, baby.
Now that's a New Year's Eve rock out right there.
There we go. Yeah, we're not doing anything. Are you doing anything tonight? Oh, no, everybody's
we were,
sick.
But we had to cancel it because we have two kids at home with the flu.
These are questions that just came like, boom. Okay. So I'm going to just glance at them really quick. What defined you being a good man and who taught you that definition of what a good man is?
What? mm-hmm. What defines you as being a good man?
A good man.
I haven't killed anybody.
No, that's stupid.
You haven't?
Like, did your dad instill things in you
yes.
that said, you know, to make you, I don't want to say a better man, but, you know, you try to instill things that make you what I guess. I don't know. I'm reading what it says. I don't know.
I think your father, your grandfather, if they're around, your school, your friends, your, you know, your buddy's dads, if they're decent people, kind of all put a little bit into you. You kind of get a little bit of this and a little bit of that from everybody.
And do you, you know, obviously for you, Robert, because you have two sons, you pass on all of your goodness to them.
It's called wisdom.
I agree with that, but then also there's at some point common sense has to kick in, and you look at what other people are doing and you the do's and the don'ts, like what you see that person doing going, ah, that's not the type of person I want to be, or what they're doing, that is the type of person you want to be. I can't say that. I never really saw my dad in relationships until like he married my stepmom when I was like 14 years old. That was not a very good relationship at all. Like but she was also like, there was a lot there. So sure. Basing my relationship off of what he did, if I was to emulate what he did, just because of their relationship, I would not be in a good relationship. So I'd say I took a lot of what he did and said, I'm not going to apply that to my relationship.
Yeah.
So I just think at some point, it's just like, you know, it all boils down to the type of person you are and like how you want to be treated and how you want to treat the other person.
And I feel as we're older though, right? Like a little bit older, you see things so much different. You know, I mean, you obviously have three kids and your youngest one is a pretty good age gap, right?
6 years old, yeah.
I mean, not a huge age gap, but
it's significant enough.
Significant enough. You probably do things different for him than you did for your older son, right?
I treat him, I wouldn't say completely different. I feel like I babied my older son a lot. Like, oh, you got hit in the face with the baseball. Let me give you a hug. Now my youngest kid gets hit in the baseball. Like, hits in the face with the baseball. It's like, dude, get up. Let's go. Oof. I saw like how he took, like my oldest took it. And then I felt like that did not really work out so well.
Okay.
And so I'm doing a different path with him on certain things. So it's kind of like you just, I'm not saying learn from my mistakes with the first one, but it's like, you just kind of like.
That I feel too, is kind of like the first time we went to the beach with Charlotte.
Okay. Now you can talk. Cause I will spit out everything.
We might as well brought a fucking circus with us.
Circus, an RV. We carried an RV.
Circus. I mean, it was the whole train along with the elephants. And I mean, oh my God, it was everything.
When I look at it, when we talk about it, I think we have a picture of walking. Like he was walking ahead of me. And
I had a wagon. I had a boogie board. I was pulling the ice chest on the boogie board.
I'm still doing that. Are you kidding me?
Shit, just.
I mean, we still have a lot, but this was over the top. Like this was so ridiculous. And I know that's just an example of just like.
But that's I think what he's getting at is that's how it started with his son first.
I mean, now, you know,
the next one, he's like, dude, we're just taking the boogie board and a towel and flippers and we're out.
Well, and there's this commercial. Yeah. I want to say it's for like.
It's like Huggies. The diapers one?
Yes. It's so great. Yes. The mom.
Melissa and I talk about it all the time.
The first one, she does it. And the second one, she takes the handful of Cheerios and the kid.
Yeah.
And she goes out the door. And I'm like, that's amazing because it was so ridiculous. And I think that. But, and also for me, I know I've said this before, is having a child older, being older, I would have been a totally different mom. Maybe a young, not, you know, just different mom. Like, I feel like I have a little bit more wisdom now because I saw the things I didn't want, you know? Like, when people who have kids in their 20s, that's fine, whatever. My mom had me when she was really young. But kids in their 20s having kids, you're still learning, you know? Yeah. You're still learning, you know? It's like when you're 18, it's like, oh, here, go off into the world. I'm like, no.
My kid ain't leaving when he's 18.
No, I mean, that's like a lot of, I just think it's different. So I think that you kind of, a good man is something, like you said, you started off doing it this way and you're like, yeah, that didn't work. So kind of evolve, right?
And then a good man also does what he, you know, tries to provide for the family, tries to be there for the family. That, you know, there's a lot of things, not just treating with respect, but then also just being there. And it's a lot of stuff.
So I have a question that's my own question, I guess. And back in yesteryear, the woman always stayed home. right? Like in the 50s and 60s, she would come home. There'd be three kids. There'd be a Leave It to Beaver dinner.
Simpler times.
Simpler time. The husband worked. And, you know, back then he worked. He was able to have a house. They had food. They maybe did one vacation.
They all worked at the bank for some reason.
Yeah, they all did everything together. They all had, you know, canes and they were swinging it around. There's a band behind them.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, as we got older, but I feel in the 2000s, I mean, I guess I'm only just from what I've seen when I paid attention is there are women that stay home still because financially they don't have to work.
Yeah.
I think now daycare and having childcare is so outrageous.
Oh, yeah.
But do you feel that it should be a dual income household? Because back then you never thought about, I know this is like really dating, I'm just kind of thinking of the mindset of logistics is, do you think that it's, if the woman is staying home and she doesn't do anything all day long, right?
Is do it, I think that?
Do you think that that's, you, do, first of all, do you think that they should have a dual financial, like dual incomes? Even though knowing logistically, now, I know we're past the daycare stage, but logistically, sometimes daycare costs more than maybe the wife was making because she can't work full time because who's going to pick up, right? Because you guys, you've established your careers or whatever, whatever. So do you think that you should have a dual income? Do you think it's fair for the man to just to do all the work, the financial?
In today's times?
Yeah.
It has to be a dual.
Even if you had kids and you were the logistics of the cost of daycare, unless you had like a mother or mother-in-law that could, here, take little Sally all day, every day, all day, 5 days a week. Like you think that it should be? Or do you think it's like—
Yeah, when you say she's doing nothing.
A lot of times it would be like, well, what do you do all day? Because you're home with the kid. Well, it's like you're home with the kid.
Yeah, but— They usually have a nanny and they also have a fucking maid and everything else that goes along with it. So they're literally doing nothing.
Well, that's a whole other, that's a very small window. I'm talking about Joe Schmo.
Today's society has to have a dual income.
And you think that they would be lazy if they didn't?
Not necessarily lazy.
But just the logistics of it, you need the money.
Like you want to be able to go to the grocery store, right?
I mean, food is very overrated. We have old nuggets we haven't eaten that Charlotte didn't want anymore. Okay, so let's see here. We're going to dwindle down here because some of these are... Oh, what's something that you've learned from a woman that changed how you see yourself? Is there anything?
Absolutely nothing.
You've not learned anything from a woman?
I've just learned what not to say.
Or do.
It's or a chess act. Game. I just think about
what not to expect. What not to assume.
You guys are so stupid. David, be better than that answer.
Ask me the question again.
What's something you learned from a woman that changed how you see yourself? The woman doesn't have to be me. It could just be a woman in general.
Like Gladys at Ralph's.
Gladys. Good old Gladys.
She taught me how to cut the deli meat properly.
Thin sliced turkey.
I will say this, though. There was the lady at Sprouts. She introduced me to Vermont cheddar.
Oh, it's good.
Boar's Head Vermont cheddar.
It's good.
I learned a lot from that lady. Grilled cheeses are amazing. Go ahead.
Much better than the... Remember the peel and stick? You'd stick it on your cheeks.
Well, we still have those.
Oh, that's not cheese, dude. Yeah, that's horrible. Okay.
I'm just saying, Gladys, Sprouts,
Vermont cheddar.
You rock.
What has a woman taught you? Have you learned anything that has changed how you see yourself?
And it can't be sexual.
Body lotion and body scrubs are good for your skin.
Probably the time that Jennifer told me about body scrubs and body lotions for your skin. Thanks, honey.
No, there's nothing a woman has told you or I've taught
nothing
you.
Nothing that sticks out in my head, otherwise I'd be saying it.
Oh. Okay, what advice would you give your younger self?
Stay in school.
Save your money.
Buy property. When you were in your 20s, even it, because back then it was just nothing and all the money I wasted. God, yeah. When I think of all the money I wasted, let's go to Punta Vallarta and let's go here for a weekend with the girls. And I'm like, and you saw back then a condo, and this was expensive at the time, was probably $80,000.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. If I would have just had one fucking property, it could have been a studio. I don't even care. It didn't even have to be a fucking mansion. That is the one thing. I don't believe in regrets, but I have two regrets, and that is one of them.
I will say also, like, you may not understand what it is, but jump into Bitcoin. Like, you may not have a clue what it is, but when your buddies say, let's do Bitcoin, do it for a year. And then, like, right when it started.
And then, pow.
And then get the fuck out.
And then run like the wind. What's your biggest, or what would you have told your younger self, David?
Save your money.
Save your money?
Mm. Don't do stupid shit.
Yeah.
I saw actually one yesterday that was really good. And it said, what could you tell your younger self in three words? And mine was, don't marry the other one. Save your money. Buy big properties.
Oh, God. I wish I would have bought. I have this client I was telling. I mean, David knows, but I have this client and she's amazing. But I saw her the last couple of days and her, when I first met her like 4 years ago, I just remember there was all these keys and like bins and baskets and bins. And I'm like, what the fuck? You know, like what? And she's like, oh, my dad, you know, he owns some properties. And I'm like, oh. So like in the late 70s out in like Gardena and like, I think maybe Garden Grove too. I know Gardena for sure. I mean, he has like 40 properties, 38 properties or something. And he had a business partner for like 8 of those properties, but the rest were all him. Some of them are like 4-unit apartments. There's a couple bigger ones that are more like maybe 20 or 30 units. I think most of them are like 4 to 8 units. But they're set forever. They're set forever. The nieces, everybody will be set forever. He started with one. Then he probably was doing good and bought another like in the 70s, back when you were buying things for $12,000 and that was a lot of money, you know? Right?
Yeah.
Dumb. I mean,
you heard about the 4 guys from Dave's Hot Chicken?
No.
Yeah, they started on Hollywood Boulevard 4 or 5 years ago. They just sold for like $3 billion.
To who?
Just whoever buys Dave's Hot Chicken restaurants.
Oh, because sometimes it's a bigger company.
Yeah, bigger company bought them.
Wow. But so you started 4 years ago making fucking hot chicken. 5 years ago, probably out of a truck first, right?
And no, then, like they do with the guys on the, just with the tarps and the.
Okay. And now you sold it for $1 billion or more. Like, how do we not do that? So that's what I'm saying.
Dave's Hot Chicken's not that good.
So. I don't, I mean,
I've never had it. I don't know, but I'm just saying that I use that.
It ain't no Cane's chicken, let me tell you.
Cane's ain't that good either.
The sauce is what's good. There's like no seasoning on the chicken. It's the sauce.
Okay, so what is a favorite song? I think we've talked about this. Favorite song or genre of music?
1990 through 2000.
Okay.
I'll go back to the 70s. The 70s. Yes. I mean, I'll even go farther. I mean, I'll say like, I love Beatles, Zeppelin, Journey.
Charlotte and I were listening to Kareth 101 yesterday and it was great. And she's like, I know this song. I'm like, how do you know this song?
She's so cute. I love that she loves music. I love that she loves music. I love that she loves music. That's what
I'm usually 95.5 and that's it.
He listens to the radio still. I don't, but I love that she loves music. I catch her like the other day. She's like, Mommy, can we change it? And then the next song came on. She's like, after this song's over. And I was like, yes. And it was like a little rap song, but not a dirty one. Just one. She was just like, I love it. Okay. Here's a random question. There's 2 more random questions. And then I promise this is a dumb bonus question. It says,
oh, man.
Natural nails or the long claws that you see, which would you love or hate? Now your wife probably doesn't have them. I know I don't, but you know how the girls do all these things with like, I don't want to say unnatural, but kind of with the eyelashes and the lips and the nails. Is that something that you would find attractive?
Well, Melissa has fake nails on right now, I think, but they're not like the extravagant, super long.
Yeah, she probably has like normal nails.
They're normal.
The ones where you can't do anything.
Yeah, where you're actually using like your
pad of your finger because you can't touch anything because your nails are so long.
No, she types with her nails.
But all the, and David and I have talked about this before too, like all this stuff. I mean, I know the lashes and the hair extensions and I saw this comedy. I can't remember who the comedian was. And he's like, imagine like the next morning if you were at the girl's house and she took all of that off, you'd be like, who was I with last night, right? Because it's so different. And I think that's just kind of in what?
And the comedy clubs are dim.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Sometimes I see that these young girls, like I saw this girl working at Target. They were so ridiculously fake. She couldn't even with the nails. They're called like, you know, almond nails or something. And all this fakeness. And I'm like, how do guys find that? That's not even real.
I don't. That's not my cup of tea. I don't like that at all.
Okay. And then this is from somebody who is a gun owner. If there are any gun owners, how would they feel at a shooting range if they were outshot by a hot girl? Does that make her more attractive or a threat?
It makes her a threat, and it's happened to me.
Who? I haven't shot anything.
You're not going to the range with me because you'll just shoot me.
I would never shoot you, but I do want to go to the range.
I know.
Can we know who asked that question? Come on.
No, you don't know.
Is it you who asked that question?
No. Oh, that was Whitney.
Oh,
okay. As I say, you wouldn't have thought that one.
That would just make me want to go to the range and practice more.
Yeah. I actually have a story about Erica, and I don't think we talked about this when we did our podcast about a shooting range, and then we're going to just, you know, wrap it up. But she was in the Marines, and she was just had finished boot camp, and I went to go visit her in North Carolina, and she was... I don't know that she was even dating Kirk at the time. I think they were just, you know, whatever they were doing. And he had a friend and they're like, they were taking me around because I had never been, right? So they're going all these places. And then all of a sudden they pull up to the shooting range. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. But I had never done any of that, like ever. So she was like all pumped because, I mean, they just came off of, all three of these guys just came out of like boot camp, you know? So here I am. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. I have no idea what I'm doing. So they're showing me what to do. I could not stop crying. I was shaking and sobbing. I didn't. And she's like, do you want to stop? I'm like, no, it's fine. And I'm like, I was so scared. And now I'm like, why was I so scared? And she's like, that day did not go as I thought it was going to go. Like she thought it would be something really fun. And I was like petrified. I don't know if it was the noise, but now I'm like, I totally want to go. I tell you that all the time. I don't think I would cry. Just remember this day and time. Okay, I want to say that I could do this forever, but I'm not going to. But I am going to say it's nice to hear a guy's perspective about things because guys are just, they're just simple. Their brains are very simple, I feel. You guys don't overthink. I mean, you think things, you know, I'm sure you overthink your own things, but in general, we overthink everything. And as a whole, we read into a lot of things and there's a lot of emotion, right? It is nice to hear from two guys that are fairly funny and fairly cool. And I thank you guys for listening to some of these questions that I hadn't even really read. And as I was reading it, I was like, I didn't know the P.
Any other questions you wanted to ask us?
Besides, are you excited for 2026? It's a new year.
Yeah.
It's a new year. Things
it's supposed to be a lucky year.
It's supposed to be a lucky year, so I don't know what that means.
All of us? For the entire humanity?
It's supposed to be the luckiest year in the next 60 years.
We're all going to be millionaires?
Let's go.
That means the price of a cheeseburger is going to be $2 million.
Let's go. Well, here's the thing, Robert. We're going to move and have our own beef, and we won't have to worry about that.
Our own beef?
Our own cattle, our own pigs.
Oh, beef. I thought you meant like, our own beef.
Fuck somebody up.
Yeah. Like, we're going to have a beef.
No, not that kind of beef. Like, where is the beef?
I mean, it's nice to talk to guys. And I've said this before. It's just easy. I used to work with women all the time. And then once I started working with guys, I'm like, I'm never working with a room full of women again. It's just easy and funny. And thank you for the laughs. Tomorrow is the beginning of a new year. Let's make it count, right? Let's I say this every year, but let's do it. If this is going to be in 60 years, the luckiest year. We have to do it every day, right? We're lucky to wake up every day. Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. And how do you know when a new episode drops? Like, subscribe, follow, especially if you're on YouTube, because we have videos now and it's so fun to see the funny faces we all make and everything. So like, subscribe, follow. Thank you so much. Happy New Year. And we'll see you next time.
Peace out.
Peace out.
If you love the episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I'd love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. Until the next time, take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, and keep unpacking what matters most. This episode was engineered by Robert Altshuler. Music by Coldfire. Recorded and mixed at Command Recording Studios.